Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Peter Singer, the director of the Center for 21st Century Security and Intelligence and a senior fellow at the Foreign Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. He's the author of several books and articles, including Corporate Warriors, The Rise of the Privatized Military Industry, Wired for War, The Robotics Revolution, and Conflict in the 21st Century. And his latest book, co-authored with Alan Friedman, Cybersecurity and Cyber War, What Everyone Needs to Know. Welcome to Background Briefing, Peter Singer.
Thanks for having me.
And as a result of the Edward Snowden revelations, there's been a lot of pushback from the tech giants in the United States. They took out full-page ads, and then they met in the White House. And apparently there's been some blowback against these NSA revelations about the NSA's activities that's affected U.S. business. And I'm sort of surprised in a way that the public are sort of outraged about the government snooping on them. But at the same time, these tech giants are able to gather all of their private information and commodify individuals and make profit out of individuals without the individuals getting a piece of the action.
The companies are mad about sort of two things that were going on here. One was the way that they were obliged on the front end to turn over information, cooperate with the NSA, but couldn't talk about it. And so we're put in a really difficult position when these revelations came out. And I say couldn't talk about it, legally couldn't talk about it. But in turn, what really sent them through the roof was not the original sort of PRISM revelations, but what came a couple months later, which was the backdoor vacuuming up of data, the backdoor going after some of the key lines of transmission. Essentially, that was where these companies felt taken advantage of. And really a way of thinking about, you know, why are they so mad? Well, they're companies. They have a profit interest. And by... It depends on the study. One study found that they've lost roughly, that they'll lose $35 billion worth of revenue. Another one from Forrester Research said that they'll lose as much as $180 billion worth of revenue. In either case, it's not a good situation for these tech companies, and that's why they're angry about it. That's different than the discourse that's been surrounding Snowden in terms of the rights question, the Fourth Amendment issues, the personal privacy, the question of involvement of U.S. citizens in intelligence collection activities. And that's really, you know, when we talk about Snowden, there's so much has been revealed that it falls into very different categories of activities and very different categories of concern. We haven't even gotten to the targeting of foreign leaders, which, you know, is not doesn't fall in these categories. It's different, you know, the Angela Merkel side too. So then you say, you know, why is the public upset about this versus the gathering information on them by companies? Well, it goes back to very original, concerns that Americans have on their rights. You know, the questions of why do you need a warrant? That's not a recent Snowden issue. You know, that's something the founding fathers wrestled with, and that to me is, you know, at the nature of this are some certain deep concerns about the political role of government and how far can that go versus questions of privacy. But you've hit it right. You know, anyone who thinks that companies aren't equally interested in gathering information about you, yes, they are, but they don't have the ability, for example, to legally compel a company, another company, to share that information the way, for example, the NSA was able to do so. And they don't have the technical capability to pull off some of the activities, for example, the backdoor going after Google and Yahoo, et cetera.
So I suppose, you know, there is a line between government activity and criminal activity. It seems to me that so much of what goes on the internet, both in terms of communication and commerce, and then obviously conflict, which is another aspect of your new book, Cyber War. But just starting with cybersecurity, and we now have this revelation about all of the people that went to Target, the big store Target, and how much their data's gone. So you have on the one hand the NSA snooping into the cloud-based data of all of these big giants, and they put them in these cloud-based data with the assurances that the information is secure, but they're not secure from the government. And then you've got, I take it, a bunch of criminals hacking in to get people's credit cards. So where is the line between legality and illegality with similar actions? And that's not to mention people like the Syrian Electronic Army, the KGB, or the Russians' use of hackers, the Chinese use of the 50 cent hackers, etc. So let's start with that part first.
I think there's three ways to come at this. The first is just the simple fact that there is no issue that has become more important, and when I say more important to everything from your personal concerns of privacy to the constitutional questions of privacy to the personal protection of your bank account to now corporate issues to the political questions, you name it. There's no issue that's become more important more rapidly that's less understood than cybersecurity and cyber war. Simply put, it's just this area that we have an incredible amount of mystery, ignorance, misperception, just everything coming together. And even when people understand the technical side, the notion, that the IT crowd can handle this, guess what? It ripples out into other areas, whether, again, it's on, legal questions, ethical questions, to just what can you do to protect your kids? So there's no issue that's worst dealt with right now out in our public debate, and also just how we protect ourselves. And that's frankly what drove me in the writing of the book. The second is you bundled together all of these different actors, and that's again when we try and make these nice, strict, easy to understand divisions, or we bundle things together, it's a mistake because it doesn't reflect the way the internet is. Guess what? The internet, the players on it, they range from the more than 100 state military entities that are building, Cyber Command equivalents, not just in the U.S., but over 100 different nations. But they also include other civilian government agencies from the federal, the state, the local level. L.A. even has built up this cybersecurity center. To corporations, everything from large corporations like your Googles to small cupcake stores have a presence online. Collectives of people that come together online to engage in some kind of hacking activity, a la Anonymous, to collectives of people that gather online to share cute cat videos, to, again, individuals, you, I, we have roles, we have responsibilities in this place. So we bundled together these actors, and yes, they're all online, but they're engaged in very different kinds of activities. And then you hit it exactly right, where, the types of things that have popped up in the news recently, they range from NSA to the Target hack to, the opposite end, Neiman Marcus got hacked. So, maybe the rich person doesn't have to worry, but their personal shopper better darn well be worried about this. And yet we put these together with things like Cyber 9/11, Cyber Pearl Harbor. We bundle together unlike things simply because they're all in the realm of zeros and ones. And we would never do that with the chemistry of gunpowder. We would never say a mugger, a terrorist, a kid with a firework, a political protester with a smoke bomb, a nation with a cruise missile. We would never say, well, these are all the same because they use the chemistry of gunpowder. But we do the same on cyber. We lump them all together. And again, I think it reflects that first point that I was making of how we don't well understand these issues right now, the basics of them, and how we all collectively need to get, frankly, a lot smarter on it.
Again, I'm speaking with Peter Singer, who's the director of the Center for 21st Century Security and Intelligence and a senior fellow in the Foreign Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. He is the author of several books and articles, including Corporate Warriors, The Rise of the Privatized Military Industry, Wired for War, The Robotics Revolution and the Conflict in the 21st Century. And his latest book, co-authored with Alan Friedman, is Cybersecurity and Cyber War, What Everyone Needs to Know. But to the extent that there's been a revolution in the national security arena and the landscape, where since the end of the Cold War, national threats have disappeared almost entirely, where subnational and transnational threats have taken over. So we've had to rethink that idea of borders and over there, going back to World War One. That doesn't exist anymore. So since everybody uses this same internet for both warfare and commerce, is it equally borderless?
Give you a yes and no answer to that. So on one hand, we've seen the development of weapons that are like every other weapon in human history. You know, they cause some kind of physical damage, whether it's a stone or a drone. But because they are no longer a thing, because they're made of software, made of, you know, zeros and ones. Stuxnet was not a physical thing. It caused physical damage. Stuxnet was the cyber weapon designed to sabotage Iranian nuclear research. It was both here, there, everywhere, and nowhere. And that's something we haven't seen in weapons and warfare before. It was designed to sabotage Iranian nuclear research. It did so, but it also popped up in everything from the computers of the Indian space program to it was actually discovered because it popped up in computers in Europe. It was all over the place. And that's where we see one of the connections with some of the other new kinds of warfare out there, like, for example, the greater use of drones, where the action can be taking place, the physical damage can be taking place somewhere different than where the people who sent it are at. So there's some links, there's some differences. Now, when it comes to thinking about the roles and responsibilities, let's move beyond the technology, the weapon itself, but kind of the roles and responsibilities, there's been a narrative pushed by some folks online who say, you know, this is borderless. And in fact, this is something that states should have no role in. And states, get out of this realm. You're aspects of some dated age. And there was even a famous, you know, declaration of independence, so to speak, within the internet. It's a noble sentiment. And there's some very worrisome things that states are doing to, you know, frankly, poison the well that's been so good to us. But at the end of the day, states have to play a role in this space because they have certain responsibilities as governments. One is that they use these networks. You know, 98% of U.S. military communications go over the internet, so it has that direct concern. But then they have the secondary, the next layer to this, which is their responsibility for the safety and security of their citizens, which again depends on the online world working effectively. You know, whether it's your communications, your commerce, your power infrastructure, you name it. So there is a role for states. We can't think of this as a stateless realm, but we also have to understand that it's fundamentally different than some of the things we've assumed in some of our structures that were built up in, say, the 20th century.
Well, just in the last minute then, Peter Singer, you mentioned drones, and drones elicit a lot of outrage and passion amongst people. Most of my friends, for example, find them absolutely get, you know, steamed up in a way that's really quite extraordinary about them. And my question is it better then to stick a bayonet in somebody's stomach and watch them die? Is that how warfare should be? Is that how gentlemen carry it out as opposed to zapping somebody with a drone? What's your understanding about why people find it so revolted by drones, both here in the United States and particularly in countries where they're being used against civilians?
Every time there's been a new technology in war, whether it was David picking up his sling and stone to the first use of gunpowder to the new technologies of today, people would describe how they weren't fair. You can go back and find a quote from a French nobleman talking about how only cowards would use a gun when the first gunpowder came around. And that's the same sort of thing that's playing up right now. That's a repeat in history. I think what makes these new technologies, whether it's drones or cyber weaponry, is that there's a concern because you're moving the human role both physically from the battle space, at least in terms of, you know, who's doing the sending of the weapon, and also the next step in robotics, as well as what's happening in cyber, is you're moving the human role chronologically. the decisions that matter might be made not in the midst of battle, but days, weeks, months beforehand. And that's troubling, I think, at the core for people in terms of our legal, our ethical, our social, our political understandings of war were built on a very different assumption. But guess what? As troubling as it is the reality of war in the modern 21st century that it will mix, you know, both the bayonet and the cyber weapon of Stuxnet, and you better understand both of them if you care about issues of war, politics, or the like. The difference with, you know, your bayonet example with cyber is that it also involves the rest of us because it's going over the very same networks and going after the very same targets that we all collectively use. So a weapon like Stuxnet will be traveling over the same networks that your cute cat videos will be going over.
Well, Peter Singer, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
And I guess we barely scratched the surface, but I appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Again, I've been speaking with Peter Singer, who's the director of the Center for 21st Century Security and Intelligence and a senior fellow at the Foreign Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. He's the author of several books and articles, including Corporate Warriors, The Rise of the Privatized Military Industry, Wired for War, The Robotics Revolution and Conflict in the 21st Century. And his latest book, co-authored with Alan Friedman, is Cybersecurity and Cyber War, What Everyone Needs to Know. And you can also visit his website, cybersecuritybook.com. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.